Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in this extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Also joining us in lieu of John Paul is Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Give a shout out to all those who experienced the windiness and the sandiness of Hurricane Sandy. Let you know that we are praying for you. We are telling all of our listeners to text Red Cross to 90999 to send $10 quickly. Also to go to Operation Blessing, that's OB.org, OB.org. It matters how we respond to our fellow citizens and brothers and sisters who have lost property and homes and need help. Good Operation Blessing at OB.org with Jody, formerly Harrington, who heads that up, and will be right on the scene as always. Operation Blessing. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Chris.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Here we are, moving in the Extra Hour. If you missed the first hour, you need to catch the first hour, as we were talking about beginning, again, the conversation of rethinking church, but also about the New York Stock Exchange and how it's been since 1918, since it's ever been closed down for 2 days in a row, and that just happens to be the founder of the concept of the United Nations. Mm-hmm. President Woodrow Wilson happened to be president during that time. Oh, my goodness. Follow the money, and you'll find out what's happening. That's in law enforcement. They just say, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the money, and you'll be really, really surprised to see what's going on. You can find that out in the first hour. Well, man, we are... by the way, I saw your quarterback being interviewed on the news.
Uh-huh.
He was real quiet. He wasn't real boastful or anything
like
that.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, he said, well, of course, we're talking about, you know, Steelers. we're talking about the Saints and yeah. Drew Brees. And he was being interviewed, and he was real quiet.
Yeah.
He's pretty wise.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Sometimes there's times just like...
Just to be low.
And he said, well, This just means that we're going to have to win everything, including the presidency, to make this thing work out. You know, it's just time for us to do what we're supposed to do. You know,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was just saying, you know, I got a ring already. I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah.
And I got millions of dollars in the account. Nah, boo, boo.
Yeah, right.
Right? And you're buying my T-shirts. Right? And you're buying my T-shirts. Yeah, I'm glad to see you're getting older now. I see that you have a Saints sweater. No.
Yeah, I do have one of those.
Do you really? Oh, my goodness.
What's a zip-up?
Oh, a masculine
jacket.
Zipper. That's a masculine zipper.
Yeah.
It's a jacket. I'm talking about the one with a couple buttons on the front.
No. That was the one you just had on, wasn't it?
No, that was a... What is that?
That vest.
It's... Is that what it is?
Didn't have any sleeves.
It didn't? It's no. Pretty cool. It keeps your back when it's freezing cold. Mm-hmm. Man, I tell you, that is really, really nice. We were like 8 days. 8 days, is it? 8 days away from the presidential election, November the 6th?
Yeah. 7 days, isn't it?
7 days away from... Yeah, because it's Tuesday. It's next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, you know, hundreds of thousands, possibly, obviously millions, are voting across the United States in early voting. This weekend, I believe that the presidential candidate, Governor Mitt Romney, came to the Gulf Coast, the Emerald Coast, and was mm-hmm. speaking. I think the last person that came down for President Obama was Michelle Obama came to Emerald Coast as well to talk and and man, we're like 7 days away. 7 days away. If you have not yet begin to look at your ballot, you can go online for whoever your local county is or your city that runs your elections, and they have what sample ballots, and you can get it off online and you can begin to look at it. These ballots are long, but I know in Florida there's Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr, you know who Roseanne Barr is?
Yeah,
the bar was lowered really low.
Yeah, really low.
That she is on the ballot in Florida for president. Roseanne Barr is on the ballot in the state of Florida. She's running for president.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Insane.
And so we need to vote. You need to show up.
Please
you
vote.
Need to show up. I was talking to somebody recently, and they're looking at me like, there's no way. There's no way. And you got to read it because there's like maybe 10 people that are actually running for, it depends on your state, but in Florida, I think maybe it's 10 that's on the ballot that are running for president, and she's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that we're values voters. We vote for values. What is God's values? We find that out in the Word of God. We want to vote for the candidate who seeks God, who knows God, who follows God's ways. And if this person doesn't know God, then we want to vote for the candidates that will allow us to continue to know God, follow His ways. The most conducive candidate that allows us the First Amendment rights to be able to freely preach the gospel in our nation. You know, don't automatically just throw the election out with the bathwater when you don't have a Christian candidate. Remember, this is not a theocracy in America. It is a democracy and a republic form of government, a representative government, that allows us that individually have our rights to say and do whatever we feel led to do as long as it doesn't harm someone else or, you know, take from someone else. And we don't want to give that up because that gives us the freedom to preach the gospel of the kingdom. So if you have two people running for an office, for example, and neither one of them know God, but one of them is for the Constitution. They're constitutionalists. They believe in the founding fathers' viewpoint of the Constitution, and they are totally for, you know, the First Amendment rights, which is the government must make no laws concerning the church or religion. Mm-hmm. Or the free the gathering of people, which means you couldn't gather outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get a license before you can gather, but
right.
The First Amendment allows you to do that, and the freedom of the press is, which you're not really using it lately, but we at any moment now, if you start using this First Amendment press, we sure would appreciate it.
Yeah, right.
And start investigating our leaders, our Washington. That would be very helpful right now. But we have two candidates don't know God, but one of them is a constitutionalist. They're good. Say they're good American. They have a loyalty to America. They have a history of standing with America, standing for the American people. That would be the police officer that you'd want come into your house. That they would be the soldier that you want fighting beside you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kind of values. You know, understand that's who you want to, that somebody that has your values, that's who you want to be able to vote for, somebody that has your same value system, who stands for that, you know, and don't just say, oh, because, you know, this person's not a Christian. Listen, there's people that go to gatherings all over the place where the word church is on the outside of the wall.
Yeah, right.
They don't necessarily know, everybody in there don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read the letters to the church in Revelation, to the church, mind you, in Revelation, where he talks to the seven churches, there was people there who walked away from God or didn't know God in the context of that. He wasn't writing to the world. And so it's okay to vote. Go vote. Go vote and vote the most conservative vote that you can in regards to your values, that God values life. Understand this, that we have a Supreme Court that's appointed by our president, whoever our president is, So whoever's going to be president in the next 4 years is probably, they say, is going to appoint two Supreme Court justices, which right now, and hopefully will change this, they rule for life. But I don't know where all this, the root of this is, that they could be impeached at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can actually curse the Constitution and tell people to avoid it
mm-hmm.
in another nation and still be the Supreme Court justice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy when you're actually swore an oath to protect and defend it. But here we are. We're 7 days away. We're a few days away. I don't know, whenever you're listening, you're 7 days away where America is going to, and the world is leaning forward to find out which way it's going, where America's going to go. And a lot of the world's saying, what are you doing, America? Why are you giving this up? And I was sitting talking to a Korean War vet, and he was in Korea in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they were fighting for their freedom, and now you have North and South Korea. And American soldiers went and laid their lives down to be able to give freedom to South Korea. And so South Koreans are now going back, and they're bringing these soldiers who fought for their freedom back to South Korea to honor them. And they said they treated us like royalty. And he said because of our age, he's 80, he said because of our age, they had an ambulance and a police,
oh, wow.
something like a fire truck,
yeah.
following our buses. They took us around. But they put us in the nicest hotels.
These are American soldiers?
These are American soldiers being brought back to South Korea by South Koreans to honor them for giving them the freedom that they have in the democracy
wow.
that they have today and the free enterprise that South Korea has today. And he was almost in tears because he said, this man who fought for our country, and many are today,
mm-hmm.
that he's just blown away of how we're about to lose what so many people died to give us, that America's about to lose this. His name was Mr. Thompson. And I was so impressed about South Korea because they took our vision, our dream of freedom and democracy and the free enterprise and capitalism, and they took it. And now they're the ones, by the way, that's probably building your refrigerator. They're the ones building your telephone. That's where particular appliances, I can't think of the names, come from right now. But all these high-end appliances that they say are very nice,
mm-hmm.
that they come from South Korea.
Oh, wow.
It's such a digital culture there. They're sort of cutting edge. They're cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the nicest, most beautiful highways and all this, that the children are getting addicted. They're getting addicted to games, like digital games, to the point where they have therapy and like you have an alcoholic would go through Anonymous. They have like digital Anonymous or something.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, everything is just like futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we delivered to them in the 50s a freedom that we started giving up ourselves in the 50s.
That's something.
We delivered to them, to South Korea, freedom. We gave them our dream. We gave them our vision. We share with them our founding father's dream, and we fought for them to have it, and they're grateful because look what they're doing. And then we came back to our own country for them to be spit on, these soldiers to be spit on, to be criticized all the way up through Vietnam. I was talking, I had another veteran to the right side of me, and he was talking about when he came back from Vietnam, the Viet Cong, that the people spit on him,
mm-hmm.
come off the plane. They said, you couldn't wear your uniform because people were in the streets and rioting and all this kind of stuff. And here he was fighting for our country, fighting, trying to do the very same thing that South Korea is very grateful for. And Americans were spitting on their fellow Americans for wearing the uniform.
Mm.
And this is in the 60s. So I had the 50s on one side of me and the 60s in the other, and God was speaking to me.
Mm.
I really believe he was. And I was like, my goodness, it makes you just want to go where people appreciate capitalism and democracy and the freedom. And South Korea, well, that's Young Yi Cho's situation that's there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's amazing. Think about it. So here we are. We carried it and fought for it, for them to have it, and they took it and they ran with it, only for us to come back to watch, for him, Mr. Thomas to come back and watch America start to give it up. From the 60s, when all the things started happening in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And now here we are with literally a leader that appears to be bringing in the contradiction of who we are
mm-hmm.
into our nation, into our country. It's just, and he's broken hearted. He's like, we're gonna lose this thing. He said, in all of his life, he's never felt so close, you know, to losing what that everybody had fought for. Mm-hmm. And there's another particular man that's sitting with us, and he's wearing the American flag tie and those kind of stuff, but he was missing it.
Mm-hmm.
He just missed it.
Right.
And he's talking about, just vote. And I was like, well, no, you need to think about it before you vote. It's not just voting. It's get educated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, know what you're doing. It's not just voting.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing, do you believe in the Constitution? Do you believe in the foundation that was laid for this country? And understand, it could not happen outside of God, because God says, I'll lift a nation up and I'll take a nation down. And he decided in his infinite wisdom to lift up America and to use it as a sign to the world that if God is your God,
mm-hmm.
and you have the freedom to worship God, they'll choose Jesus. They'll choose God. And then now the things have been creeping in since, you know, the 1918,
mm-hmm.
and all the things that have been happening in our school systems, and we've been turning things over. It's been a gradual plan to take us down. But you know what? I believe that we can turn around. It's going to be rough, but we can turn around and we can decide this is the nation that we want to be. It's our nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's our nation. It's a nation. It's like I saw this man. He was wearing the team, the Packers. He's wearing the Packers hat. Mm-hmm. He had a Packers jacket.
Mm-hmm.
He had Packers Froggers on, those plastic shoes or whatever, but they're like Packer Cloggers or whatever they are. You know, those plastic light shoes or something mm-hmm. that Chris wears. And because I'm like, you're a Packers fan? And of course he said, yeah.
How'd you know?
And I asked him the big question. You know, the big question always is, right? Are you one of the owners? Because it's the only privately owned or owned
publicly owned
yeah. team where you can buy stock and you can own part of it. And he goes, yes, I did. He bought a part of the team. And you can decide the future of the team because you're part of the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so America, that's how we are. You are part of the owners. If you're an American citizen, you have a dog in this race.
Mm-hmm.
You have a vote. You have a mouth. You have a constitution. You know, if you know the Lord, you got Jesus. And we can begin to stem. So you know what? We don't like what we did with it, but it is ours, so we can do a house cleaning. We can begin to say, you know, begin by God's grace, the empowerment that comes through the grace of God to say, you know, we want this once again to be known as a Christian nation. Let people kick and scream. So what? Mm. We want to be known. We have African nations right now that are standing up. I believe it was South Sudan, maybe. They stood up and said, we are going to be a Christian nation. And God begins to bless these different nations that do this. I can't tell. I don't think it's South Sudan. But they stand up. The leaders stand up and say, we want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord.
Oh,
and Lord of this nation. And we can do that again, America. We can do that again. We can quit believing the lies of trying to rewrite our history. That this is actually how we were founded. They just had no idea how far man could go using an elastic interpretation of a living, breathing constitution, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, right. But we can change that again. We can grab a hold of this. The original intent of this country and the original intent of this, we could be the church freely in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're 7 days away. We got some choices laying before us here. And it's going to take the church doing what's right personally. But in the context of that, if we do, though, God says, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. And this, if a turmoiled nation in Africa that's fought bloodshed, evil things that were going on in some of these nations where genocide was taking place and just factions were going on with just great murder and bloodshed, they come to the end of themselves and they say, listen, we want God to be God of this nation. We want Jesus to be known as the Lord of this nation. If they can do that, we can too.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that too. We can follow their lead and say, listen, we've sinned against you, God.
Right.
You know, we've done wrong before you. We've tried to change what was laid solidly as a foundation that's before you. And we took it, trying to make it adopt to our gods and rejecting you in our life and said, we don't want that. And not only begin to put God's name back in the courthouses, back on our money, back in our schools, but begin to literally put him everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody would come to America and say, well, your God is God, and your Lord is Jesus Christ. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And if Benjamin Netanyahu can stand up, because we're a Judeo-Christian country, that's where we come from, that's where all of our laws come from, and if Benjamin Netanyahu can stand up and say, we know that there was a day that nations stood with us, and we could trust nations, or especially America, but now all we know that we have Christians standing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be against, the Jews are not going to be against us standing up in America and saying, listen, we want to be a Judeo-Christian country. We want to honor God in our country. And we want to honor our Jewish brothers and sisters in our nation. And we want to honor our Christian brothers and sisters in the nation. And we want to honor, and within the context of our Constitution, those who are not believers, to be able to say, hey, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, but don't change our Constitution.
Right.
And if you want a different Constitution, go find your country and draft one up.
Mm-hmm. You
know?
Right.
Why take this one down? You know, we've got a lot of us. Like somebody says, I'm driving a Ford. Well, don't change my Ford. Don't break the letters of Ford off my car. Go buy you a Chevrolet. I mean, why are you got to do away with our particular car?
Right.
So I just want to encourage you that we are 7 days away. I think it's very significant that 7 days away from the election that a hurricane 1,000 miles wide named Sandy is coming our way, coming over the financial district, right there at Battery Park, right there where the Twin Towers were hit, right there where the Freedom Tower is going up, and getting our attention. And he's getting our attention to say this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he, God, the creator of all, who holds all things together, who loves you and has a plan for your life, will hear from heaven and heal your land. We'll be right back.
John, have you had a chance to check out Bind Fellowship Network at university?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my goodness. VFNU. I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you've received Jesus in your life and you want to know more and you feel that God is just calling you to go deeper in him, to just, you know, there's a call upon your life. You know, there's a reason that you're a part of this generation and you're asking yourself, how? If you're asking yourself, how do I do this? I just want to encourage you, go and check out VFNU.org. You know, God's got a plan for your life, and you play an integral part of this generation. You play an integral part, and God has a plan to use you. And you can find out more of what God has in store for you. Find out more at VFNU.org. Dude, John, I was opening up my mail the other day, and I got an offer to subscribe to a magazine. Check this out. They wanted $25. A month, not a year, a month.
Steve, $24 a month. Come on. Are you serious?
That didn't even get a second look. I was like, no, like $25, trash. That's where that went. I was like, that ain't jiving, you know?
I bet. $25.
Not going to work. But get this. Did you know that what you can subscribe for free?
What?
VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get the downloads. You get to see more of what is not heard, more of what's not talked about on the daily VFN radio program. Check it out. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You know, I began to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from like hitting the hammer and trying to build something. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone. And I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4. And he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what is the level? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because, I don't know, apparently he had like left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And and there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of his of the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, "Yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV VFN Daily Radio program?" And I was like, "There's an app for that?" He's like, "Yeah, there's an app for that." He says, "You can go right on iTunes right now, and you can also go on the Android because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in." And there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator. But I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the Great Commandment. I want to fulfill the Great Commission. But I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at Vine Fellowship Network. .org.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. What was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. First, I want to say, you know, John, how you did a wonderful job hosting you and Pat. I appreciate what you guys did. I was so encouraged by hearing, you know, in my time away, I'm listening, you know, to the encouraging words that are shared, and oh my goodness, there's so many important things, you know, shared on VFN radio. You know, you hear so many. I mean, I don't know. I guess God just turned the whole media thing over to the adversary. It's just like, you know, no, they turned it over to, like, I think Romper Room or something. It's like, are you guys serious? I mean, come on.
Real.
Do you all know how ignorant this sounds? And there's this one, you know, years ago, there was this minister years ago on radio, and a friend of mine tells me about him. He says, real country minister, you know, and he said, you know, when I first started ministry years and years ago, he says, I thought I was ignorant. But since then, after I've been in the Lord for a while, I just feel ignorant. Ignorer. I'm telling you, that's pretty profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to know some stuff. You know, I used to fight for a lot of things, but now, I mean, I don't fight for too much, but the things I do fight for, I will die for. But, you know, hey, you got to work it out. You know, pick your leg up, put it back on. We're going to make it. It's going to happen. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am Greg, and joining me is Pat and Chris for the last part of the Extra Hour. Ignorer and ignorer and ignorer. Isn't it amazing? It's just so amazing. As life goes on, you start thinking, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? And it's just a way of, I believe the Lord just allows us to be humbled. And and I remember, I think it was T.D. Jakes that said, you know, he's from West Virginia.
Yeah.
He don't bring that up much anymore, but he's from West Virginia. And when God started bringing him up and putting him on the public stage, that he said, he started thinking about all those things he taught back then. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, can you go get those tapes and just destroy them?
Yeah, burn them.
It is amazing. You know, one thing, people talk about the presidential tapes, you know, the presidential tapes, and, you know, everything that's being recorded. But listen, if you are a minister in America, everything you've ever said, it seems like you is documented.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, everybody's on tape in heaven, by the way. Everybody's being documented. He has many, 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 many gigabytes.
Yeah, many hard drives.
And we will be appointed. It's appointed time when we will stand before the throne of God. And every word that we said or didn't say, you know, we will be judged by that. And that's why you want to make it right now at the cross. Lord, forgive me for those words that I did or didn't say. And every deed we did or didn't do. And what he says. This is Jesus. And so what we do is say, hey, I'm going to go to the cross now. I'm going to make it right. And one of the benefits of having everything recorded and made public is like the old thing that says, the guy that says, you know, when I'm, you know, 85 years old, I'm going to run for a political office. And and somebody says, why? Why would you want to do that? And he says, well, you know, my memory will be fading and I'm sure I've done something wrong that I won't remember. And I found out if you run for political office, they'll let you know. They'll let you know. And anything they bring up, I'll just repent for it. So that way when I go to meet God, I would have made it right.
Right,
you know,
right,
something,
right. Or they'll just make something up.
Or repent for all that too. Just get it all ready to go. And I thought it was pretty funny. Pretty funny. Good way to look at it. By the way, if you decide to run for political office, it's just like saying you decide you're going to play on a football team. Yes, you want to win the game. But realize, as the New Orleans Saints has realized, you don't win them all. But you show up on the field to win. Mm-hmm. And so many people won't try to run for political office, good people, because they don't understand that's, if you're going to get in the game, you might lose. But at least you could have won. I mean, even the Saints won once. Once, but they didn't just start yesterday. They've been going since the day they were making paper bags. They've been around for a long time. And understand that we got to be willing to lose. It's okay. They've changed the way that looks in society. But the truth is, the day you decide to play on the NFL, is there's only going to be one team that wins the Super Bowl, which means every other team and every other player didn't. But it was because they did that. The best, the cream of the crop, came up.
That's right.
So the political, understand when you get into this, the political room, say, I want to be a leader. I want to run for a county commissioner. I want to run for sheriff. I want to run for city council or school board or governor or Congress or state or president, whatever it is, that if you tell yourself right up front and all the people that you're talking to stand with you, you say, listen, this is my values. This is what I stand for. But realize, we want to tell you up front now that we could win and we couldn't win. The question is what we stand with for and what our values are. Are we going to still have those at the end of this race? Are we still going to believe the same things that we believe? Are we still going to walk with God as we were walking with God? Or are we going to sell out on the way because all of a sudden it started off with our values and ended up with just trying to get the office? And a lot of people start out standing right, but they sell out just to get there. And, you know, when you think about all the king's men, what Willie Stark said in that old 1949 movie, he said, good comes out of evil. That's not true. Good comes from God. The only one's good is God. So I just want to encourage you that know this, that it's not a negative thing for you to want to, hey, I want to be on the school board. I want to stand up for what I believe in and what's right and begin to run. We need people that run for values. Even we need people on the school boards that believe in the value of life. Why? Because they're not going to be okay with a school nurse telling children that You got to go call your parents if you can take this aspirin, but you don't have to call them if you're going to abort your child.
I know.
So, but if you have a school board who loves God, you see, if you're on the school board and you stand up in front of everybody and you say, you're the voice going, listen, this is wrong. Your community's going to get around you. If everybody on that school board is against you, the majority of those people in that community, when they see you stand up on your local TV, whatever they ever had broadcast your, the newspapers will probably cover it. You'll find out the majority of those people in that community will stand with you. And the rest of that board, who's only worried about power and position, they will have to either bow down to the representative government, the people that they represent, or they'll be voted off. One person can change an entire school system. But you need somebody, maybe it's you, to run for school board. Well, I'm not smart enough. Listen, if you know God, you abide with God, and you love the children, and you want to see them do well, and you know the Constitution, go for it. We need some people who have some common sense over this. Because all these guys, and there's nothing against, you know, education's really good. that, but if you give up common sense in the midst of it, that's not good. Or if you're trying to get educated enough where you get common sense. I'm taking common sense 101. Hey, it don't work. It's got to come from wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9. This wisdom moment is so important because it's a time when we say, you know what? All the knowledge in the world without wisdom, which is the proper application of this knowledge, is useless.
Mm-hmm.
It only puffs up. So we want wisdom. We want, you know, God to give us wisdom. I hope today, as you're listening, that this wisdom is going to pour over you, because I really believe Proverbs 30, 7 through 9 reveals a lot about where we are as a nation, where we are as a people. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9 says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and still and so dishonor the name of God. Is that powerful?
That is.
That's so powerful. The writer of this proverb shares with us some great wisdom. Trying to keep the air from us, from touching us, is near impossible.
Right.
Swimming in the ocean and trying to keep water away from us is impossible. Living in the world where Satan has his throne, who is not only a liar, but the father of lies, as Jesus describes him, and his children, those who are held captive by him, spread his lies, is just as impossible to keep away from all of his lies.
Mm-hmm.
But with God, all things are possible. Our Lord can keep lies, falsehoods, away from us, when we ask him and abide with him and say, Lord, keep falsehoods from me. The wisdom, this particular wisdom that I'm talking about right now, blows the American dream of riches out of the water and exposes it for what it is. Don't give me riches or poverty, he asked the Lord. He asked the Lord to give him just enough to live a satisfied life where his needs are met. He exposed what riches quite often do to a man as he shares, I might have too much and otherwise disown you, and say, who is the Lord?
Mm.
Isn't it amazing when you see so many people desperate for work and desperate for a job because the job will provide the money, and they turn and they say, listen, pray for me. I need a job. I need a job. I need money. And they see God answer them when you pray for them, and God gives them a work, and all of a sudden you come up to them. Now they're comfortable. Now they have their money. Now they're getting paid. Now they've got their job and their house, their car and stuff. They say things like, I don't know God. No. Who is this Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Over and over again. Jesus said this, it's easier to go through the eye of a needle, which is a narrow gate that people had to walk through turning sideways to get into the city. It's easier to go for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Paul tells his spiritual son Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's time to be contented. Listen, we're in the top percentage of the world, America, where we brought nothing into this world, he goes on to tell Timothy, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we can be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation, into a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. I mean, this is what the writer of Proverbs is talking about. And Paul's confirming, he says, for the love of money, he's talking to Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, eager to get rich, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So the wisdom, this particular wisdom from this proverb, is ringing even all the way to the time of Paul and Timothy when he said it still stands. This wisdom still stands. Jesus even clearly tells us chasing after riches or money is not a God chaser. If you chase after money, if you chase after riches, you're not chasing after God. And we're called to be God chasers, serving God. He tells us in Matthew 22:25, he says, no one can chase after or serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Listen, chasing riches, you know, when it's all about your job, it's jobs. Mm-hmm. It's no longer about God who gives you the job. Then the writer of Proverbs says, listen, and don't give me poverty. Don't give me poverty. He said, I may become poor and still dishonor the name of God. Oh, that we would have that revelation today, that people would understand that when we do wrong before others, we are dishonoring him. This is important to know, because when poverty comes upon a person or a people, the same tempter that tempted the man who was eager for money to fall into all kinds of temptations will also tempt that poor man or poor people that are in poverty to do things that dishonor God by being tempted to steal or to be untruthful about things, clothing, to be able to get clothing, food, and water, mm-hmm. to be able to steal. And so by God, we're asking God, God, don't give us poverty, because poverty may tempt us, our own sin nature, to do things that would dishonor you. And don't make us so rich that we turn from you, because that'll tempt us. Give mm-hmm. us just in every, it's that number is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can't be trusted with $100, and some people can be trusted with $100,000.
Right.
She said, don't give me poverty. But Jesus plainly tells us in Matthew chapter 6 about this, about what, how do we do this? How do we get into this place, this sweet spot of not too much and not too little? He says, listen, in Matthew 6:25, this is what Jesus says. The Son of God says this. He says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies or the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like any of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Key faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? He says, for the pagans, people who don't know God, who are serving other gods, the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you have need of these. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. How to live that life in the midst of what this proverb, this wisdom moment is saying? Listen, go after God. Be a God chaser. Find out what God says. You know, he says, listen, he says, trust him. Become a God chaser. Chase after his kingdom, his way of doing things, his righteousness, and he'll take care of you. I mean, Psalms 37:25 tells us, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Mm-hmm. But that's us going after God. That's not us just saying, I know Jesus and he's going to take care of me, but living for the devil.
Right.
Jeremiah 29:11. Listen, God has good plans in store for you. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When we do right by God, he does right by us. When we are faithful to God, guess what? He's faithful to us. When we're not faithful to God, guess what? He's still faithful to us, because he is a faithful God. He can be trusted. America is in this dilemma right now because the church has ran after riches. We sought after prosperity. We preached prosperity messages. while leaving God's righteousness in a museum of historical consideration. In turn, we're losing our prosperity. We are called as God's people to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And in doing this, he will make our nation once again prosperous. We have to stop chasing riches. At one time, a president got into office because he promised a chicken in every pot. Mm-hmm. And now, even that is not considered a blessing to so many. But to chase riches, to chase prosperity, is the quickest way to fall into traps and away from faith in God. We can't do that. We're not going to be able to chase money and chase God. This is our decision. This is the wisdom moment for today. And if we'll lose our prosperity if we do that. But I encourage you to join those who are chasing after God and become a God chaser, like Tommy Tenney writes about in his books, God Chaser. That's what we're called to do. And separate yourself from all the troubles that come with chasing after riches and begin to seek God and go after him and understand by your faith and knowing that he will take care of you, who's rich in mercy and full of grace. He will meet your every need. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs chapter 30, 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and still and so dishonor the name of God.
I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know Tom Landry, he was a coach for Dallas.
Yeah. Right, the Cowboys.
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl, and so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team, because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do, mm-hmm, to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do, mm-hmm, to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great, I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know?
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm, you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm, and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, mm-hmm, what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man, mm-hmm, and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come, mm-hmm, to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ, that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But your spirit, man, is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And if you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, we get, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man. They have three eights or zeros in their number. I was like, oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. You love those, like, 1, 2, 2, 1, 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about, you know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, I, you know, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up! You know? Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, it, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe, and you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It, you can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on VF at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Cool. It just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.